AT&T is pulling in two directions at once, rolling out a $15 build-your-own plan to chase price-sensitive users, while pledging $19 billion for California fiber and wireless. At the same time, SpaceX's Starlink says it wants to compete in cities, not just dead zones. And the big carriers are forming a satellite joint venture to avoid getting boxed out.
Start with the $15 offer. What exactly is AT&T selling? And who feels that first pinch?
It's called Build a Plan, launching May 27th. The base is $15 per month for unlimited talk and text with 1 gigabyte of data. Add 5 gigabytes for $5, or jump to unlimited with 4K video for $35 more. Hotspot up to 50 gigabytes costs another $20. It's month to month, new customers only for now, and you need to bring an unlocked eSIM-capable phone.
MVNOs like MobileX and Telo already do custom plans. Is this just AT&T copying prepaid with RPU erosion risk?
The twist is scale and channel. As Wave 7 research noted, a facilities-based national carrier with 5,000-plus retail stores pushing this is different. AT&T says it's about choice, control, and value. But the operational angle is BYOD eSIM to strip out device subsidies and lower SAC. Limiting it to new customers is a way to acquire without cannibalizing premium lines, and to study customization patterns before any wider rollout.
If they actually push it in stores, premium mix takes a hit. If they bury it online, it won't move the needle. Which way do you see it breaking?
Execution decides. Watch whether stores surface it or keep it online, and whether the unlimited plus hotspot attachments become the upsell path. Remember, Verizon just raised Unlimited Ultimate by $5. Verizon leans premium ARPU, while AT&T opens a low-end funnel and tries to protect margin with add-ons.
Network economics matter. A $15 entry could bring in low-usage customers or bargain hunters who flip to unlimited plus 50 GB hotspot and spike site loads. Sustainable?
The base is 1 gigabyte, usage light by design, and the price ladder makes true unlimited a conscious jump. AT&T can manage with deprioritization. Metrics to watch in Q3 to Q4, take rate of the $35 unlimited add-on, hotspot attach, and churn among premium postpaid if cross-sell cannibalization shows up. Also watch ad intensity. If it's front and center, ARPU pressure is real.
So who gains or loses on bargaining power here?
Near term, AT&T gains leverage on acquisition costs via BYOD eSIM. MVNOs like MobileX and Telo feel pressure if AT&T's retail scale normalizes $15 entry pricing. But if premium churn ticks up, internal bargaining power shifts back to protecting flagship plans.
Let's shift to satellites. SpaceX's S1 says Starlink Mobile wants to compete no matter where customers are located, rural, suburban, or urban. What's the scale they're pointing to?
SpaceX cited an estimated $740 billion global TAM, about 7.4 million unique devices monthly across roughly 30 countries, with ARPU around $8. Analyst Tim Farrar highlighted that Starlink Mobile generated about $632 million in revenue last year.
That's significant. But T-Mobile's CEO said T-Satellite usage was roughly 0.0002% of network traffic in May. If it's that tiny, why should clients care now?
Leverage and options. The S1 plus FCC approvals, and SpaceX securing EchoStar's AWS-4 and H-Block spectrum earlier this week, positions Starlink to push for richer economics as T-Mobile's exclusivity likely sunsets this summer. Meanwhile, AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon announced a D2D dedicated JV to cultivate an ecosystem with AST Space Mobile and Amazon's LEO, so SpaceX isn't the default.
Physics and spectrum still favor terrestrial in cities. Indoor penetration, handset RF support, and economics. Is the near-term risk just wholesale pricing power, not retail substitution?
For now, yes. Roy Chua's point resonates. Starlink starts as coverage extension, then becomes a negotiating counterweight, maybe a wholesale layer. The pivot happens if Starlink moves from SOS, SMS, to higher capacity, 5G-like direct-to-device using that EchoStar spectrum and next-gen satellites. Signals to watch this summer: OEM enablement for NTN and flagship phones, FCC filings for broader D2D service classes, and any change in T-Mobile's $10 T-Satellite packaging or data allotments. If OEMs flip the software switch broadly, carrier leverage shrinks overnight.
So in satellite, SpaceX is trying to gain bargaining power. The JV is about keeping it in check. How about where the money's flowing on home broadband?
Fixed wireless access sits at roughly 14% of U.S. broadband share, per Wave 7 data cited by Phone Arena. T-Mobile leads, with over 9 million FWA customers. Verizon ended 2025 at 5.7 million, and AT&T reported about 2.3 million last quarter. The big three are extending FWA into prepaid brands to widen the funnel over the next two quarters. Starlink adds optionality, an estimated 3 million U.S. subs within 9 million globally, while roughly 2,000 WISPs collectively serve about 9 million, mostly rural users.
Who's getting squeezed, cable margins or carrier spectrum headroom?
Both, but on different clocks. Carriers monetize mid-band capacity where they have headroom. Home internet loads are manageable with traffic shaping. Cable faces share and pricing pressure now. Comcast just brought multi-gig symmetrical to about 100 unserved locations in rural Florida and aims for 3,200, while keeping a 33-cent quarterly dividend. That's defensive expansion with capital discipline. Over 6 to 12 months, watch Comcast Charter CapEx updates for promo depth and retention credits in overlap markets.
Back to that AT&T pledge, $19 billion toward fiber and wireless in California, targeting $35 billion over 10 years in the state. Actionable now, or just headline CapEx?
It implies near-term procurement for fiber builds and wireless densification, plus copper-to-fiber upgrades tied to energy savings. Vendors and construction partners should track California make-ready permits, utility coordination, and municipal timelines. Given pole disputes and bid timing, anything that standardizes pole replacement or accelerates permits will multiply that spend. Risks are labor availability, permitting bottlenecks, and whether bid dollars flow cleanly. Likely winners: fiber equipment, outside plant contractors, and site acquisition firms. Losers: stranded copper, and in contested zip codes, possibly cable pricing power.
Net-net, carriers are segmenting price tiers. Cable is defending the footprint, and Starlink wants a seat at the urban table. The single thing to watch now, whether Starlink extracts richer terms from T-Mobile before the JV matures. That will tilt bargaining power toward or away from Verizon and AT&T in D2D, and could put T-Mobile on the back foot, despite its current FWA lead.